Lord, this morning, we pray that you will.
Amen.
That you'll trust him as your personal Savior today.
Amen.
We don't know any other way to say it than, are you saved? Do you know him in the free pardon of sin? You know, all these other things, you and I can't do a whole lot about. We can pray for our country and for all of the diseases. But you know, isn't it fantastic? There's good news for sinners.
Amen.
Jesus died.
Amen.
He was buried and he rose again. He's on the right hand of the Father making intercession for all those that will believe.
Amen.
But God so loved, Jesus died. I didn't have this in my notes, but it doesn't matter. We don't really follow notes all that close anyway, but we want 1 Epistle of Peter, chapter 1. These words, as Brother Smith was preaching this morning, and I was thinking, I could just about fold my sermon up and leave Brother Ginn, and Brother Smith just walked all over it. But I told my wife, I said, I'm going to preach it again.
Amen.
Can't wear out the Word of God.
Amen.
This really isn't my message, but it has a thought in here that I want to impart. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father.
Yeah.
How can anybody deny that? Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Amen.
You can't beat that with a stick. Who are wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. You know, I thought many times, I've preached on it a couple times, but faith isn't any good if it ain't tried. You carry it around all your life, and it ain't worth anything if it ain't good when you have a trial. And if you don't have it when you have a trial, you might as well not say you've got it.
Amen, brother.
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found. And this is it. Everything that you and I do, everything,
amen,
do all to the glory of God, amen, that the trial of your faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the only thing that it's going to be good for, to be found,
amen,
to bring glory unto him.
Amen.
Whom having not seen, you love. Anybody know why? Isn't that fantastic? In whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice. With joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith. I'm already saved, folks. I don't have to wait and see what's going to happen. There's not going to be another election. And there's not going to be another decision made. God made the decision in the council halls of eternity past and determined, predetermined. Have to cut out Romans chapter 8 if you don't believe that. No, we really rejoice in being here. And I don't believe there's seriously ever been a more challenging time. I started to say exciting time, but there are a lot of things about this life that's not just too exciting, you know. But it is exciting. And while you're thinking about that, you turn with me over to John chapter 5. And it's a demanding time. But there's never been a greater need. Even though we don't see what many of the results as we'd like to and we've seen in times past. But that's God's business. You know, we get busy thinking about God's business and take our mind off what He's asked and told us to do. We're not very diligent to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. So our desire is to be used in the work of God. And I'm beginning, and I think I can say this. A lot of times, you know, we don't really know our own hearts, but I believe according to the Word of God, we can know a lot of things. I can say, as the Apostle Paul, I'm ready now to preach to them that are at Rome also. Yeah. I don't know where Rome is right now. Uh-huh. Would you pray for us? We're not young chickens anymore. And it's a serious time of our life. I mean, you know, it's not easy to pick up and pack up and move, but we're ready and we're thinking about it. We've talked about it. All we need is the Lord to show us where.
Amen.
But in Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking assembling of ourselves together in the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approach. Now listen, we're all, I think, in agreement, and I've heard almost every message mention this. We're in the last days.
Yeah.
See? The last days. So much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, listen. So many things we ought to be so much more careful of as we see the day approaching.
Amen, brother.
To bring honor and glory to Christ, that which we do doesn't tear down or tear apart.
Yes.
2 Corinthians says that the ministry be not blamed.
Yes.
That's part of it. That's us. So, you know, in a day when many are saying, lighten up, you know,
yeah.
Well, tighten up.
Amen.
Yeah. Gird up your loins with the truth, he says in Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you know, Brother Smith and all of you have mentioned, until that day, until that great last day when the trump of God shall sound, and Jesus comes forth in the air and he calls us, you and I are responsible to preach the truth.
Amen, brother.
Be instant, in season and out of season. See, it's not a matter of whether I believe it or whether I don't believe it. It doesn't matter whether I see anything wrong with it or whether I don't see anything wrong with it. It's not a matter even of my convictions. If they're not convicted by the Word of God, if they're not led by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, my convictions ain't worth anything. It is, what does the Word of God say?
Amen.
And then yield and surrender and submit to it.
Amen.
James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, submit yourself to God.
Yeah.
And then you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Amen.
You can't do a thing without submitting to God.
Amen.
The Word of God on any area, and I may mention this again in a minute, the Word of God in any given area of doctrine that we believe is not debatable.
Amen.
You want to debate somebody so they can change your mind? I know what the Word of God says, and that's what it says. I appreciate Brother Clark, and I find myself quoting him a lot. And I never really sat under his ministry a lot. But one day we were sitting around talking, and I asked him, I said, what does that mean? And he said, it means what it says. God means what He says, and He says what He means. It's not debatable. We don't have to study Greek for 10 or 15 years before we can understand what God wants. He's already allowed us to have that.
Amen.
I don't believe we ought to mess with that.
Amen.
So what does the Word of God say? It's not debatable. In John chapter 5, can you think about this? Verse 25. One of my favorite verses. Because it'll keep you going. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is.
Yeah.
We're still now is.
Yeah, that's right.
When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live.
Praise God. Amen.
Isn't that fantastic? We ought to know something about that. Ephesians 2:1 says, you have He quickened who were dead.
Amen, brother.
Well, Brother John, sure. If you've been quickened, you ought to know it. You ought to know when it happened and where it happened. I haven't figured out why. But He loved me when I was unlovable.
Amen.
Go back one chapter to chapter 4. Bring an honor and glory to God. Whatsoever you do. I tell you, if we really think seriously about that, we might stop doing some things. We might start doing some things. Verse 23 of chapter 4. The hour cometh and now is. It ain't over. That's why we got this conference. That's why y'all go to all the work that you do. It's not over. Still is. When the true worshipers. Brother Smith, you can't keep silent on that. You got to tell people how they can truly worship Almighty God, because there's a lot of nothing out there. I got a little saying. It ain't mine. But, you know, you take man away from God, you still got God. God didn't change it all. But you take God away from man, you know what you got? Nothing. Nothing.
Amen,
without Him, we have nothing. We are nothing. We can't do anything.
Amen.
But when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Amen. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must. Not debatable. Must worship Him in spirit and in truth. According to this book. According to the book. The only hope we have, the only hope this whole world has ever had is Jesus. If we're alive, oh, listen. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I quote these, but I think I'll read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, if anything else is working on you, you better check up. The love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all. Now listen. True worshipers. That He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again.
Amen, brother.
Why do we do what we do? Jesus. I like old Brother Smith saying, repent, 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 you know, and Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, why do you do what you do? The love of Christ. That they which live. And then in Titus chapter 2, Brother Smith read, but look at it again. They which live, live looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't feel sorry for people that a little bitty God that can't do nothing.
Yeah.
Can't tell them nothing.
Yeah.
All he did was die for them, and he left everything up to man's consideration and man's ideas. That's pitiful. That's not my God. So, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read that for just a minute. Live looking for that blessed hope. And then, in Hebrews chapter 12, we mentioned a little bit at the beginning, compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us. Don't worry about all of this other stuff. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Because we can't preach unto others about sin if we've got it ourselves. Let us lay aside every weight and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us think about that time over there that's going to come one day if the Lord tarries there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 when the Apostle Paul said, I have finished my course.
Amen.
And we look back, we want to look back and know that we have satisfied God.
Amen.
That the trial of our faith has been pleasing unto Him. And so, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy... The joy. I've had it right up to here with people that don't love the Lord and there's no joy in their life. You stand at the door on Sunday morning and watch them come in and look like somebody whipped them there, you know? And like it's the last place in the world that they wanted to be. And it probably is, but they... Well, I've got to keep up appearances, you know. Some people have just forgot that. They don't really care anymore. But nevertheless, there's still a lot of them that something happened to the joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And we ought to start evidencing some of the fruits that God said to His Spirit in us ought to evidence. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
Make an intercession for you and me. I like what old Stephen was stoned, you know, said he looked up and he saw the heavens open.
Yeah.
You know what he saw? He saw Jesus there. He said, it's all right, Stephen, I'm here.
Amen.
Come on home.
Amen.
Brother Smith said, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? No. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're alive, we ought to live.
Amen.
A lot of evidence. And you cannot separate, you can't separate any doctrine that we believe in Jesus. You can't. And I understand more clearly than ever before, perhaps, what... Paul meant when he said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus. You know, commission to the church, go preach Jesus. That's why, isn't it? Go preach Jesus, the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1. If we don't know anything about it, how are we going to preach it to others? We've already, it's something that we've already experienced, we can tell others about. Some people say, oh, I just can't do anything, I can't say anything. I can't. If you're saved, you ought to be able to tell somebody how. Trust Jesus. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus is risen.
Amen.
And I got to say this. Y'all probably be disappointed in me if I didn't say this. I believe that's a Baptist commission. I believe that. I don't make any apology for that. I believe that. I believe it's go preach Jesus and make Baptists. You teach them to observe. The only people teachable are those that God makes Baptists. Make disciples, baptize them, teach them. And that's a big order. And we can't do it. Teach them to observe all things. Preach the whole counsel of God.
But God, we're going to stand before God one day. He knows all about us now.
That's right.
We're going to stand before Him one day, and He's going to tell us all that we didn't.
That's right.
And all that we thought we knew.
Mm-hmm.
If I was going to title this, I would say, bring honor and glory to God in recognition of our dependency, His ownership, lordship, and authority. He has authority over me, over you, over this church.
Amen.
It's His church. I'm His.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus. Talk about something else. Talk about all these monstrous things that's out here in the world. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the foundation. My hope is built on that rock. My hope is built on nothing less. I think that fella knew Jesus, don't you? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. Not by the blood of bulls and goats and that, but by the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
2 Timothy 2:19 says, "The foundation of God standeth sure." We can't keep it, but He can. It's sure. You can rest on that. You can bank on that. And so, John 14:6, another one of my favorite scriptures. Starts out there, you know, it said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Why we got so many troubled hearts today in God's people? Why? Then he goes down there to verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See? True worshipers, our now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
Now is. That's the same I am.
Yeah.
Told Moses to go over there. You tell him I am.
Amen.
Can't beat that. We had some of them witnesses in our neighborhood Saturday. That's right, Brother Gann, you don't ask them in your house.
Amen.
Worship God in spirit and in truth. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved.
Yeah.
Jesus died.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit quickened.
Yeah.
Whosoever believeth. Truth is, Jesus started His church during His personal ministry.
Right.
Now you're talking about, I'm going to talk for a couple minutes now about worship in spirit and in truth. The truth is, Jesus has a church in this world today.
Amen.
He built it when He was here.
Amen.
And it's still here.
Amen.
And He's still building it.
Amen.
We're not starting churches. He is. Matthew 16:15-18, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And of course they named off several there, you know. And he said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Amen.
That's the rock. That's the foundation. And then Jesus said, "Blessed art thou." The flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. But he said, "I say unto you, thou art Peter, Petrus, little stone," but he said, "I'm the rock."
Yeah.
"Upon this rock I'm going to build my church."
Amen.
"And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And they haven't, and they won't.
That's right.
Cannot. Amen. Truth is, brethren, the church that Jesus builds and will continue to build it is a Baptist church.
Amen.
And I don't say that timidly. I believe it. You can argue about the name if you want to. But there isn't anything else in this world that even comes close to being the church that Jesus built. And we ought to make sure we come more than close. We ought to be right in every detail. And I know of no other place. No, this is no, you know, in a lot of places, but I know of no other place that you can get authority.
Amen.
To be a church except through a true New Testament missionary Baptist church. I read in a magazine article this week. You ever heard anything about these cell churches that they're starting all over the world? It said that we're in the second and third reformation. Isn't that something? Well, I'll tell you something. It's not of God. The first reformation wasn't of God, and the second one won't be of God. It's just another some ungodly thing where people can live ungodly and be ungodly. Jesus walked to be baptized of John in recognition of His authority, God's authority. And God recognized it and put His blessings on it, and His Spirit descended upon Christ. And you have the perfect picture of the Trinity. And God the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
Yes, sir.
And we have the privilege of being heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ and having that same blessing upon our lives in this day that you and I live.
Amen, brother.
Being a true member of a New Testament missionary Baptist church.
Amen.
The greatest thing that ever was outside of Christ Himself.
Amen.
And it's still here. Now is.
Now is. Amen.
What we need today, and I say this, you know, but what was just some good old fashioned fear of God preaching. Tell people like it is, Brother Smith. You can't tell people what you'd like to sometimes, you know. Seriously. You got to tell them like it is. The bottom line, this is it. Except you repent, you'll perish. There's no debate there, is there? First Corinthians chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. I'm not going to have time to turn to these, but he said, please God. You know what ought to concern us? What pleases God? Please God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that would believe. Why in the world, Brother Jones, would you want to have a movie when you can get them saved by preaching the gospel? Why would you want puppets and all this other stuff? God said that He would honor preaching. Nothing else. There's nothing else. And you know, we hear all this stuff. You know, win the lost at any cost. Well, that sounds fantastic. You know, I mean, do or die. At the cost of what, though? The cost of honor and integrity and glory to God? We do evil that good might come? No. And then, you know, do anything to get them in. Lie, cheat, steal. It don't matter about your testimony. Just get them in so you can preach the gospel. You think they're going to honor you? You think they're going to believe you? When you do anything in the world to get them in and then try to tell them that they're lost? They're going to come for the entertainment and laugh at you as they go out the door. And I think one thing is clear to us. We cannot be expected in all this separation, Brother Smith. Come out from among them and be ye separate.
Amen.
We cannot be expected to meet in any union which agrees or believes those teachings on fundamental points that is exactly opposite to what we believe. We hear a whole lot about preaching negative. I don't believe in preaching negative either. And I don't believe in driving people away. And I don't believe... Well, I do. I believe in being narrow.
Yeah.
I believe in... I got a one-track mind.
Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Amen.
Preach and teach. God is immutable. He's unchanging. And His preachers and His preaching ought to be the same way.
That's right.
What's changed? What's changed over the years? I don't know if anything has changed. I believe it's God's way or no way.
Right.
We're either going to worship God in spirit and in truth, or we're not going to worship God. And that's the thing. With all of these big newfangled things, without God, they're nothing. Why do them? It's absolute foolishness.
Amen.
To do anything and say, this is for God, and God don't want it. And there's so much confusion in our world out there today. There should be one place that people can come and absolutely know that they're in the fortress of God. And that what they're going to hear is God's will and God's word. And they know that if they go out and do it and live that, they'll be in right in the eyes of God. And that's the only thing we need, the only thing we want. Preach Christ. Truth is, today's fashion is compromise. It really is. I mean, I hate to say that, but you could probably number between our house and here hundreds of churches, and many of them with the name Baptist, and preach nothing. Nothing that'll do you any good in this world that we now live, and certainly won't do you any good beyond the grave. But this is where it's at. Ecclesiastes 7:29. This I'm telling you, this is where it's at. It says, God created man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. He tells us in Exodus, and I could name a lot of these. Brother Ginn, you know that book you said somebody gave you and you never read? That's an invention. One of man's inventions. And I'm just going to tell you like it is, junior church and all this other garbage is man's invention. I don't find anything in here. Said the other night, we've got something for everybody. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You young people, listen, you might get discouraged and you might want fun. The only thing that will last and see you throughout your life and the only thing that will make a marriage endure is Jesus.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
In Exodus 20, he tells them over there about the altar of God, and he said, if you put your tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Oh, the pollution that's in this world in the churches that call themselves God. But we're a watchman. We're the watchman, Brother Smith. We're supposed to be preaching out the warning. Do not keep silent. Not be dogs that cannot bark, but sound a trumpet. And if the trumpet given on certain sound, who's going to be called to battle? And we are in a warfare. We're in a warfare. So be wary of your adversary, the devil. You know, we're not battling the preacher down the road. It isn't a physical thing. It's a spiritual warfare. Malachi 1:7 talks about polluted offerings. You offer God polluted offerings? Multitudes of that today. I mean, there's a whole bunch of that. 2 Peter 1:16 talks about cunningly devised fables. Part of man's inventions. Man uses that seed to promote his inventions. And then 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 talks about human reasonings and imagination. Oh, we're full of that today. Humanism is the number one adversary in the world today. You can be anything you want to be. You have it within yourself. The only thing you have within yourself is to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 11, we need to ask ourselves this. I mean, constantly remind ourselves. What I'm doing, does it glorify my Lord? And over there in Hebrews 12, and I'm not going to turn it because of time, but over there in Hebrews 12, that fourth verse, I think it is, on down from where we just read, it said, consider Him. One of the greatest messages I've ever heard is a few years ago at this conference, Brother Clyde Hancock preached that, consider Him. Consider Him. Can you think about that precious shed blood
and not consider Him? Isaiah chapter 1 verse 11, it says, to what purpose? Now listen, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? I talked to a man, and you probably heard me say this, but I talked to a man, his wife's uncle was a Lutheran for 80 years. Died, I mean a faithful, dedicated, didn't miss nothing. He says, you tell me that man ain't going to heaven? He says, I don't believe what you're saying. I said, I don't know whether he is or not. But if he never trusted Jesus, he is. You can be 80 years in any religion if you've never trusted Jesus. That's what it's all about. So, why do we do what we do? In obedience to the Lord's command. If you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
Well, multiplied thousands are doing nothing. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Denying the power thereof? We have no power. I don't know a preacher living that's ever saved anybody.
That's right.
Every false way is an invention of men. You know this big new church, they just had a big expose, you know, about it on TV here a couple, 3 weeks ago. It said we went around, we took a survey of hundreds of people. What they wanted in a church.
Yeah.
And you know what they said? We gave it to them.
Yeah.
You know what they got? Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
They will not honor God. They will not worship God. They will not serve God.
Yeah.
Because it must be in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
I believe that's the ultimate in ungodliness. I got to mention this. It's been mentioned almost every message, but alien baptism has always been alien baptism.
Right,
don't matter who takes it. Said, oh, brother so-and-so down here, he recommends it. It don't matter. It's still alien baptism. And it's not debatable. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. I read over here in John, and I don't have time to turn to it, but in several places and throughout other, it says there was divisions among the people because of Christ.
Yeah.
Just make sure our division's because of Him and not because of our own silliness, you know, but not debatable. And it's not acceptable. Scriptural candidate. I tell you, over there it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he said, I praise you, brethren, to keep the ordinances, plural, as they were delivered unto you. Scriptural baptism is a scriptural candidate and a scriptural authority, the Lord's church, and a scriptural mode. And the other ordinance is the Lord's Supper. Only two. There ain't no more.
Amen.
I believe close communion is given to the Lord's church and not every member of the Lord's church. He said members in good standing, members with nothing between.
Amen, brother.
My soul and my Savior. Scriptural authority, scriptural participants, scriptural elements, I believe. I believe on leavened bread and fermented on leavened wine.
Amen.
Galatians 5:9, he tells us that a little leaven will soon leaven a whole lump.
That's right. Amen.
Evil communications corrupt good manners.
That's right.
We're not careful. We must do what we do only because God has commanded it and has shown us in His Word and led us by His Holy Spirit. And I've seen this work for 47 years. I'm not a total novice in that. I've seen it work. God has blessed me in that. God has blessed me. That's fantastic. There's people that don't know that. There's people that have never heard this.
consider him. Whatsoever you do, flesh is contrary to the spirit. And you know what? Our flesh is natural. What comes to our flesh is natural. What comes to us spiritually, we got to work at.
Amen.
The spiritual life is unnatural to us in the flesh. Paul said, I keep under my body and submit to the Spirit. I want to look at something real quickly for about 5 minutes, if you allow me to run over for about 5 minutes. Do people really think that God has changed? Or that God will overlook sin? Or that they can do as they please and God... There's not an example in this book that shows us that. And very quickly, go back to the beginning, Adam and Eve. God says, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. One night, God, or one evening, I think it says, God came into the garden and he didn't see him. He said, Adam, where art thou? You know where he was? He was dead!
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah.
He was dead. But I believe also that God sought him out.
Yeah.
Just as he did me.
Yeah. Praise God. Amen.
And he killed those innocent animals. He shed that innocent blood.
Yeah.
He hasn't changed. Without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And he clothed their nakedness. And I believe he explained to them that one day there would be an offering, a sacrifice that would come that would do away with the pardon of sin forever for all those that would believe. And I believe Adam and Eve preached that to their children or taught it. How come Abel knew and Cain rebelled? And when God didn't accept it, you see, there's the biggest key that I can give you anywhere in this book. God did not honor Cain's sacrifice. See, nothing. Zero. No worship, no honor, no glory, no service, no nothing. Noah and the world. God got fed up one day and he told Noah, he said, you go build me an ark.
Yeah.
Noah found grace.
Yeah. Amen.
Same thing I did. I mean, same way God did with me.
Yeah.
Grace, are you saved through faith? And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and God said, go build me an ark.
Yeah.
And while you're building it, he preached to these people that one day I'm going to destroy the world because of their sin. That day came. You know, because God said. He hadn't changed. Everything God said, he's going to do, he's still going to do.
Amen.
And puts his approval upon that which he tells us that we are supposed to meet and conform to. And woe if we don't. Here's one more example. There's multitudes of these in here, you know. But anyway, God told Noah one day, he said, get in. It's all over. It's done. He said, I'll close the door, and he did.
Yeah.
See? Remember the story of the young prophet over in 1 Kings? This is where the seriousness of our task comes. Young prophet went to warn the king. And God gave him specific. You know, people say, oh, don't be narrow. Don't split hairs, you know. Don't be argumentative. Don't be negative. This is the most positive thing that you can tell people is Jesus Christ is going to do exactly what he said.
Amen.
The soul that sinneth shall surely die.
Amen.
The young prophet went over there and he preached to the king and his... God said, don't you stop and eat or drink, and you come out by a different way. I got to make a long story short, but nevertheless, he was true to that. The old king tried to get him to come in. You know about the withered hand and all that, but anyway, he said, no, I can't do that. God told me. that I'm not to do partake of anything here. But you know, an old prophet heard that this young prophet was over there, and he sent and went to him. And the young prophet, he had invited the young prophet back to his house, and he said, "No, I can't, because God has told me." We need to know what God has told us and then don't deviate from it for anything or anybody.
Amen,
God's Word.
Amen.
It doesn't make any difference what so-and-so says or what so-and-so's doing. What did God say?
Amen.
And God told this young prophet, he says, "You don't eat or drink while you're there, and you leave by a different way."
Yes.
And the old prophet said, "Now listen, I just talked to God."
Yeah.
He said, "God told me to take you home with me. And to feed you and give you a drink." And so the young prophet said, "Well, this guy must know what he's talking about." So he went with him. But you know what? It says the old prophet lied. And you know what? The young prophet died. That's about as short as I can make it. God will do just exactly what he said. You know, as we know about King Saul, you know, he didn't utterly destroy everything. He ain't king anymore. He wasn't. Disobeyed God. And then the sin of Achan. God said, "Don't do that." You know, people say, "Don't preach, don't." Listen, God says a lot of don'ts in this book. And it's just as much sin. He that knoweth to do good and doeth not is just as much sin as when we do it.
Amen.
Amen. Children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea, one of the saddest stories in this book. Didn't trust God. Didn't believe God. They said, "Oh, we got to check God out." Isn't that fantastic? A reformation. As if man is going to redo something that God has already done. Never happened. What God does doesn't need to be redone. It just needs to be believed and done according to His Word. Thank you.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen.